Okay, just to review quickly what we did last time, because it was a while ago. We covered Daf Beis last time, and just to go over the main points of Daf Beis again, before we move on to Daf Gimel, is we learned the Mishnah that discussed the basic physical requirements of the sukkah, the height of the sukkah, how it has to be at least 10 tefachim, and no more than 20 amos, the thickness of the schach, that the schach has to be tzilasa merubah mechamasa, it has to provide more shade than sunlight that it allows through, and then we moved on to a discussion in the Gemara about three possible reasons that a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos would be possible. So the Gemara went through several possible reasons. Number one, the Gemara suggested maybe it's based on the man yedu dorasechem. That was the suggestion of Rabba, that the pasuk says the man yedu dorasechem, that you should know when you sit in sukkah, you should realize that you're sitting in a sukkah, and if the schach is higher than 20 amos, you might not realize that you're sitting in a sukkah because you're not going to be able to see all the way up to the schach. Number two was the explanation of Rabbi Zeira, which was that leka tzel sukkah, that when you're sitting in a sukkah whose walls are more than 20 amos high, the shade that you're getting is in fact not from the schach, rather it's from the walls, and that's not good. You need the shade to be from the schach. And suggestion number three of the Gemara of Rava, the shita of Rava, is that if the walls are more than 20 amos high, that has the structure of a diras keva, not a diras arai, and a sukkah is supposed to be a diras arai. The Gemara of course said, wait a second, if it's made out of mechitzel shel barzel, if you have a sukkah that has short walls made out of iron that are that would stand up to anything, are you going to say that that's also a problem because it's diras keva? So the Gemara said, no, what we mean by diras keva is not that it's actually keva, but that it structurally looks like something that is keva. Then we moved on to Amud Beis, and on Daf Beis Amud Beis we pointed out the svara, not why each of the opinions that we just mentioned didn't say like the others, meaning what's the svara not to say like the opinion of Rabba that it's l'man yedu dorosechem. The reason why you might reject Rabba is because l'man yedu dorosechem might just mean yediyah l'doros, that future generations should know about the miracle of sitting in Anan Yaakov or sitting in Sukkos in the Midbar, but not that while you're actually sitting in the sukkah you need to know that you're in a sukkah. Maybe it's a totally different drasha. Then we said perhaps the svara not to say like Rabbi Zeira is that again Rabbi Zeira said that the reason you need to a sukkah that's more than 20 amos high is no good is because the pasuk says v'sukkah tiel itzel yom mechorev, that the sukkah is supposed to provide the shade. But we say maybe not. Maybe that pasuk isn't about our sukkah. That pasuk is about Las Lavo and Yimos HaMashiach, when we're going to be sitting in the sukkah of the Levyasan, when we're going to be sitting in the beautiful sukkah of the Levyasan. That's what it means, that we're going to enjoy the shade of the sukkah. But our sukkahs, there's no such issue. And then we said that perhaps the reason to reject the shita of Rava, that it's all about diras keva, is that Abaye asked the question that Abaye asked in Rava. What about mechitzos shel barzel? That's also keva. So those were the three possible suggestions. As we've said in the past, if you're interested in taking the Bekiyas quizzes, the kinds of questions that you would be asked is, which one of these following four choices is not one of the reasons to reject one of the major shitos? So again, these main points, I think, are fairly good summaries of what goes on the daf. And again, for those who just came, we're still just reviewing right now Daf Beis. We have not yet begun Daf Gimel. So again, in Daf Beis Amud Beis, we then went on to say that there are various statements made by Amoraim that might align with each of the shitos that we mentioned on Amud Aleph. For instance, there was a statement made by Amoraim that Defanos, not necessarily made by Amoraim, made by Tanaim even, that if the walls of the sukkah are magios the schach, actually reach all the way up to the schach, then it could be more than 20 amos high. Then it doesn't have to be within 20 amos. The schach could be more than 20 amos high as long as the walls go all the way up. And we said that aligns with the shita of Rabba, that it's about yedu dorasechem, it's about realizing that you're in a sukkah. Because when the walls go all the way up to the schach, you're going to be sitting in the sukkah and your eyes will naturally follow the walls all the way up, no matter how high they go, and ultimately will lead you to the schach. Number two, we had a statement that if the sukkah is more than 4x4 amos, that it could also be more than 20 amos high. As long as it's more than 4x4 amos in terms of width and length, it could be more than 20 amos high. And we said that goes according to the shita of Rabbi Zeira. That Rabbi Zeira said that the shade has to be provided by the schach. So if it's a very wide sukkah, even if the walls are very high, the shade will still be provided by the schach that's on top of you and not by the walls that surround you. And then the third statement that the Gemara quoted was that if the sukkah is bigger than Rosho Rubo Vishulchano, it could fit more than just your head and your body and your table, it could also be more than 20 amos high. And we said that that statement doesn't fit with any of the opinions that we mentioned on Amar Aleph. You have to, if we were learning a little more Bi'iyun, you'd have to really try to figure out why that's true, but we said that that statement doesn't fit with any of the opinions that we mentioned on Amar Aleph. Point number three we had on Daf Beis Amud Beis, again, this is just all before we get to today's learning. Point number three we had on Daf Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Yoshia doesn't hold like the other two Shitos, because meaning Rabbi Yoshia is the one who said, what was Rabbi Yoshia again? Rabbi Yoshia is the one who said that if the sukkah is if the walls reach the schach, then it could be more than 20 amos. He does not hold like the other two shitos, that if it's bigger than 4x4 or bigger than 7x7 tefachim, that it could be more than 20 amos, because he's discussing a totally different issue. They're arguing about the minimum size in terms of length and width of the sukkah. He's talking about a totally different issue, just whether the walls reach the schach. Point number four on Daf Beis Amud Beis that we did last time. Again, and this led us into a story which I think we're still in the middle of now, pretty much, which was an attempted proof from the story of Hilni Amalka, a certain queen who had several children, and the sukkah that she sat in was more than 20 amos high. And So the indication is that everything that she did, she only did based on the approval of the Chachamim. She would only do something if the rabbis approved of it. So she was sitting in a sukkah that's more than 20 amos high, and the rabbis apparently approved of it. So the Gemara is going to try to prove something from that story. Let's see exactly what the Gemara tries to prove from the story. Maybe we'll go back and start from the beginning of that story again. I don't remember if we actually read it last time or not. We probably did. So let's go back. So let's start from Mesa. We'll go way back. Let's go. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 20 lines before the end of the page. Last run line is Shehi on Daf Beis Amud Beis. Don't worry, we'll get through everything. We have plenty of time. 20 lines before the end of the page, Daf Beis Amud Beis. And again, the discussion, just to get us started, is going to revolve around whether a sukkah can be more than 20 amos high if it's big enough in terms of length and width. We had a shita that held that if it's bigger than 4x4 amos in terms of length and width, you can go way more than 20 amos high and it's not going to be a problem. So we want to know whether that's in fact correct or not. Do we paskin that way? Do we not paskin that way? Do we hold that way or not? So meisvei, ask the Gemara. Sukkah she gavol lemala me'asrim ama psula. A sukkah that's more than 20 amos high is pasul. Where do we have that statement? Where are we quoting? Our Mishnah. Very good. Rabbi Yehuda machshir ad arba'im v'chamishim ama. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher up until 40 or 50 amos. And again, as I think we mentioned last time, whenever you have a statement like that, it's always a little bit troubling. What did we say? Anyone remember? Why is it always a little bit troubling? Because normally when... What? Right, why stop there? Meaning, why pick those numbers? Is there a shear? Is it 50? If it's 50, why mention 40? Is it 40? Then it's not 50. What is the maximum shear? Is it 100? Is it infinity? How high can you go? So it's a little bit unclear from his statement exactly how high, but for our purposes, Rabbi Yehuda says it could be way more than 20 amos. That's the point. It could be way more than 20 amos. Don't worry about it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda tries to prove that he's correct, that a sukkah in general, forget about if it's bigger than 4x4 amos, any sukkah, even the smallest sukkah in terms of length and width, could be more than 20 amos. Rabbi Yehuda wants to prove his point from the following story. Now, whenever you learn Gemara, it's very important to realize when Tanaim are talking and when Amoraim are talking. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in our Mishnah is obviously a discussion amongst Tanaim. I gave it away in the Mishnah, right? It's obviously a discussion amongst Tanaim. the discussion that we have in the Gemara of whether a sukkah that's more than 4x4 amos could be higher than 20 amos, or more than 7x7 tefachim could be higher than 20 amos, is a discussion amongst Amoraim within the Shita of the Chachamim. Meaning it's assuming that Rabbi Yehuda is wrong, and that normally a sukkah cannot be more than 20 amos. Are there any exceptions? The Amoraim dispute that if the sukkah is big enough down below, maybe it could be more than 20 amos. So let's be clear about this. We are now going back to the discussion amongst the Tanaim, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, where the Chachamim say sukkah, maximum size, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Vilnagon, the maximum size of a sukkah, maximum height of a sukkah is 20 amos. Right? So we're saying Rabbi Yehuda says that it could be way more. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll prove to you that I'm right, that a sukkah is allowed to be more than 20 amos high. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, what's my proof? Maisa b'Hilni Amalka b'Lud, there was a story of the queen Hilani, or Hilni, who lived in the town of Lud. Sha'isa sukasa gavoa me'esrim ama. She had herself a sukkah that was taller than 20 amos. Vayuzakenim nichnasin v'yotzin l'sham, and zakenim, the zakenim, the elders, zakenim usually means, what does zakenim usually mean? What? Rabbis, right. It usually means not just old people. In fact, when the Chumash says that you're supposed to stand, mipnei seva takum, stand for a seva, vahadarta pnei zaken, and stand for a zaken, what's a seva? As in saba, as in, seva is an old person. Zaken is a Talmud Chacham. Zaken, the Gemara Kiddushin says, is an abbreviation for ze shekana chachma. Someone who's acquired wisdom. Zaken. So the Zakenim, the Talmidei Chachamim, were visiting Queen Helani, and she was in her sukkah, and the sukkah, the walls, way more than 20 amos, v'lo amru la davar, and no one said a word to her. No one ever said, you know, your sukkah might be puzzle. And you might think, well, they're being polite. So says the Gemara, well, we'll get to what the Gemara says, but in general, we assume the Chachamim would try to correct people if in fact the person was making a mistake. Why would we assume the Chacham would try to correct people? It's a mitzvah in the Torah to do so. It's a mitzvah in the Torah that when you see someone doing something wrong, you're supposed to try to correct them. Anyone familiar with which mitzvah in the Torah? Exactly, one of the more difficult mitzvahs, but it's a mitzvah to go and correct when you see someone's doing something wrong. I was once at someone's house for a Shabbos lunch, and I noticed that the ksuba hanging on their wall was puzzle. So I had to actually say, your ksuba is very nice, beautiful, happens to be puzzle. We should meet after Shabbos. We wrote them a new ksuba. So anyway, so you have to correct, you have to try to correct. And the Chacham didn't say a thing to her. So what does that prove? That they weren't bothered by the fact that the sukkah was more than 20 amos high. So Amru lo, they said back to him, who's they, who's him? The Chachamim said back to Rabbi Yehuda, not just the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, what, you think that's a proof? Isha ha'isa, p'turim in a sukkah. Of course you're not going to give her Musar about sitting in a puzzle sukkah. You know why? Because even if she was sitting in the house, they wouldn't have given her Musar. She's pata from sukkah. A woman is pata from sukkah. Now, women very often volunteer the mitzvah of sukkah, especially if they want to sit with their husbands and their children, so they'll volunteer to do the mitzvah of sukkah, but they're definitely pater min adin from sukkah. So you can't bring me a proof from that story. That story means nothing. She's pater. Amar lahen. So who's Amar, who's lahen? Rabbi Yehuda shoots right back to the Chachamim. Valo shiva banim hayilat. Yeah, that's nice. She's pater. What about her seven sons? Her seven sons weren't pater. They were sitting with her. Va'od, and even furthermore, don't tell me she's pater because kol ma'aseh lo asa ella al pi Chachamim. Here's a lo ella. Lo ella always means only. That every action that she did was only based on the approval of the Chachamim. So the Chachamim obviously approved of what she was doing. So don't tell me that the sukkah was kosher. The sukkah was definitely pasul. I'm sorry, don't tell me the sukkah was pasul. The sukkah was definitely kosher because the Chachamim never tried to correct her. The Chachamim let her get away with it even though her seven kids were with her. Now the Gemara just goes on a parenthetical note for a little bit and says, well, what did that last sentence really add to the conversation? The Chachamim say back to Rabbi Yehuda says back to the Chachamim, no, you should know she had seven sons and therefore they needed to be in a sukkah, plus she always listened to the rabbis. Well, why does it matter that she listened to the rabbis? If she didn't have the seven sons, then she could have listened to the rabbis and been sitting in a puzzle, so then she would have been fine, because she's a woman. What do you add by saying, and she always listened to the rabbis? So, Lamali the Misni, why does it have to say, V'od kol ma'aseh lo asa el al pi chachamim, that furthermore you should know, she always listened to the rabbis? So, hachi ka'amar luhu. Now, this is what Rabbi Yehuda was saying to them. Luhu means to them, to the chachamim. Ki tamru, lest you try to tell me. Seven sons? Yeah, banim ketanim hayu. The sons, they were all ketanim. And just like a woman is pater from sukkah, who else is pater? Children. Ketanim paterim min sukkah. And the children are pater from sukkah. So you should know it's not so. Kivan de shiva havu, since there are seven of them, it's impossible that there's not at least one of them that's old enough that he doesn't wake up in the middle of the night crying, mommy, mommy. So as long as there's one of them that's old enough that he doesn't wake up in the middle of the night crying for his mommy, he's already chayiv in sukkah. Because he's already, even though he might be under bar mitzvah, he's already higiyal chinuch, he's already of age of chinuch. We're assuming, obviously, we're assuming that it's not multiple births. Right, if she could add quadruplets and triplets, there could have been ones that were not tzarich l'imo. We're assuming normal birth. The seven sons were seven individual births, and no matter how quickly she was popping them out, it can't be that there's not at least one, at least the oldest one, who's eno tzarich l'imo. So obviously, if her older child, so v'chi temru, unless you'll say, katon she'eno tzarich l'imo midrabbanon hu d'mechayev, unless you then make the next step and say, okay, you're right, one of them was old enough to be sitting in sukkah, but a katan is chayiv in mitzvos midoraisa or midrabanan? Midrabanan. So maybe you're going to say, yeah, he was sitting in the sukkah, the oldest one. I mean, he was sitting in a pasul sukkah, but that's only because he's not really chayiv in sukkah midoraisa. It's only midrabanan. Maybe this queen was very machmid about Torah law, but wasn't so machmid about the drabanans. She wasn't concerned about the drabanans. So says, lest you say that katan sheinu tzarich l'imo midrabanan u'demechayev, a katan who no longer needs his mother is everyone needs their mother. The katan who no longer needs his mother for the middle of the night when he wakes up is only chayev midrabanan v'ihi bidrabanan lo mashkecha, and she just didn't care about the drabanans. That's why we add in what line? To get that thought out of your head that she didn't care about the Rabbanans, what line do we add in? Oh, good. Tashma, that's why we come and say, Va'od kol ma'asel o asa el al pi chachamim. No, she cared very much about the Rabbanans. Everything she did was based on the consultation with the rabbis and the approval of the rabbis. Good. That's the story of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. A machlokas what? Tanayim, machlokas tanayim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. That's the story of the machlokas. That's the back and forth. Now, we had a machlokas amarayim. When the Chachamim say your maximum height is 20 amos, do they only mean the tiniest sukkah in terms of width and length? Or do they even mean a larger sukkah can't go more than 20 amos? When they argue with Rabbi Yehuda and they tell you that you can only go up until 20 amos, are they only arguing about the smallest sukkah, or are they even arguing about a larger sukkah? That was a machlokes amoraim. What impression do you get from this back and forth between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? What kind of sukkah are we talking about? Are we talking about the tiniest imaginable sukkah? Or are we talking about a sukkah that's more than the tiniest imaginable sukkah? And don't just tell me one or the other, prove it to me.
Even the maximum.
How do you know her sukkah is very big?
Okay,
number one, there's chacham going in and out. Number two, she has seven sons sitting with her in the sukkah. And also, she's a queen, right? Probably she'd want to be in a sukkah that doesn't feel claustrophobic, and she probably could afford to do it. So probably it was a larger sukkah. So says the Gemara, ooh, it's a larger sukkah. And you see, even though it was large, what do the chachamim still insist? Even though it was large, they still insist, can't be more than 20 amos. They're still insistent that it can't be more than 20 amos. So says the Gemara, Bish lama lamandi amr b'shein defanos magios tzchach machlokas. It works out very well if you hold like the shita of who was it, of Rab Oshia on the top of the page. That the machlokas is when the walls, thank you, that the, when the walls do not reach the tzchach, that the machlokas is when the walls do not reach the tzchach, So that's the whole machlokas. But it has nothing to do about the size of the sukkah. The sukkah could be plenty big, and they'll still argue. Rabbi Yehuda Nachum will still argue. So then I understand. Darka shel malka leishiv basukkah shein defanos megiel s'schach. Might Hilani Amalki sukkah bin a sukkah whose walls didn't reach all the way up to the schach? Sure, it might have been. In fact, it probably was. You know why? Because when you live in a hot climate, speak to people who were in Florida for sukkahs. My sister lives in Florida now. So you speak to people about what the sukkahs look like in Florida. They look nothing like our sukkahs here. They're not like these solid walls that click into each other and that protect you from everything. They're as open as they could possibly be. It's all lattice. You know what lattice is, right? They all get anything that lets air in, unless you have an air conditioner in your sukkah. If you have an air conditioner in your sukkah, then you want to insulate it a little bit. But otherwise, everything's wide open. Might it have been that Ilani Amalki's sukkah was a little bit open on the top? Of course it might have been. The walls may not have reached the schach because she may have wanted some air. And that's a great way to sit in sukkah. That could be true. The machlokas might be in a case, the machlokas between the Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, might be in a case where the walls don't reach the schach. Because Ilani Amalki's sukkah might have been one where the walls don't reach the schach. That makes sense. Mishum Avira, right? Because she wants some air. We're on top of Gimel Amud Aleph. We just started the daf now. Elo Leman Diyamar, but if you hold Pesukah Katana Machlokes, that the whole Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham is only in the tiniest of sukkahs, V'chidarka Shalmalka Leisha Pesukah Katana? You think the queen is sitting in a tiny sukkah? Doesn't make any sense. So this is a kasha on those Amoraim who thought that the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim was only about the tiniest sukkah. How's it Akasha? Because we see Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham are fighting it out about a queen sukkah. And the queen sukkah was obviously bigger than the tiniest sukkah. And they're still fighting. So don't tell me that if it's a bigger sukkah, everyone agrees that it could be 120 amos. Not true. They're still fighting by the queen sukkah. It's a bigger sukkah. So Amar Rabba Baravada, lo nitzucha el sukkah asuya kitonios kitonios. So the Gemara says, now maybe even the queen's sukkah was only 7x7 tefachim. How does she fit her seven sons and everything? The sukkah was made with these little tiny enclaves, these little side rooms. Yeah, take a look, we can pass around the pictures that they have. But the sukkah was made in such a way where there are like these little crevices off to the side that are like their own little mini sukkahs within the sukkah. And those little crevices where you could fit were 7x7 tefachim. But the walls were still, and the schach was still, more than 20 amos high. That's what Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim were fighting out. It was those areas that were little 7x7 tefachim areas that they were fighting about. So ask the Gemara, why would a queen make a sukkah with these little crevices to stuff all her children and her guests, right? Oh, welcome to my sukkah. Stuff them in a crevice. Why would she do that? V'chidarka shel malka leishiv b'sukkah asuya kitonios, kitonios. Would a queen sit in a sukkah that has these little crevices in it? Sam ravashi lo nitzrucha elu l'kitonios shaba. No, she probably wouldn't sit in a sukkah like that has these in the crevices of a sukkah. But we're arguing about the crevices that may be in the sukkah, whether they are kosher or not. Meaning, Rabbanan Sabri, the Rabbanan hold, but neha b'sukkah ma'al yahavu yasvi, v'ihi yasva b'kitonios mishum tzni'usa. It's an important concept, tzni'usa. What's the Gemara saying? That the Rabbanan hold, she had her seven kids and herself. The seven kids she put in the big area in the center of the sukkah. She tucked herself away into one of those little crevices on the side of the sukkah. Why would she do that? She's a queen. Why would she stuff herself into a locker? What's she doing it for? Tznius, right? She wanted to be more tznua, more private, more, not out in public. So that's what she was doing. And why, when the rabbis did come, did they not say, hey lady, you're in a pasul sukkah if you're in those little crevices? Why did they not bother her? Doesn't make a difference, because it's a lady, it's a woman, and a woman's not chayiv anyway. What about the children? The children are chayiv. Yeah, but the children were in the big area. And the big area is totally fine, because it's more than 4x4 amos, more than 7x7 tefachim. It's a big area, so you can go higher than 20 amos in the large area. That's why the rabbis didn't say anything to her. That's how the Chachamim understand that story. For Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. But neha gaba havu yasvi. Her children sat with her. The children also sat in little crevices, and the rabbi still didn't say anything. So you see that even when it's 7x7 tefachim, you don't have a problem with more than 20 amos, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So basically, what we initially thought, just to take a step back, what did we do over here? We have a machlokas amorayim, whether the machlokas from Yehuda and the Chachamim is even in a sukkah that's somewhat big, that's more than 7x7 tefachim. We thought we could prove from the story of Eilani Amalka that the machlokas tanayim is what? Is even in a case of what? What did we think? Well, we originally thought that we could prove from that story that it's even in a case where the sukkah is big, because obviously a queen is sitting in a big sukkah. We said, no, you can't prove anything from that story. They're fighting it out about Heilani. They're fighting it out about Heilani Amalki's sukkah, not because it was a big sukkah, because of the crevices in the corners of the sukkah that happened to have areas that were less than very big, that were exactly 7x7 tefachim. Period. So first main point on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, first main point to remember, Limaskana. According to the Gemara's conclusion, we assume that Eilani Amalka was sitting in the ketonios, in the crevices of the sukkah. And the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, is where were her kids sitting? Were her kids sitting in the big part, and that's why the rabbis were okay with it? Or were the kids also sitting in the ketonios, and the rabbis were still okay with it? Good. Next. Should I slow down? Next. Needless reason. Okay, much better. Next. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Halacha tzricha shetei machzakas rosh v'rubu v'shulchano. How big does a sukkah have to be? You ever see those pop-up sukkahs? Are they really big enough? How big does a sukkah have to be? They make them in different sizes, by the way. So the sukkah has to be big enough that it could fit your head, most of your body, and your table. Of course, people come in all different shapes and sizes also, so we're going to have to quantify this a little bit. Rosh v'rubu v'shulchano, exactly how big is that? Right? I, for instance, take up much more space than I did 10 years ago right now. People, they grow, they shrink, they go on diets. So Amalei Rabbi Abba, Kiman, who's that assuming like? That the sukkah needs to fit your head, most of your body, and your table? Kibei Shammai. What, you're saying like Bei Shammai? You know why? Because when we say Rosh Verubo, the head and most of your body, what we mean is 6x6 tefachim. Assuming a person is a perfect square, a few people like that, assuming a person is a perfect square, 6x6 tefachim is the amount of space we assume a person takes up. If he's going to stick his table in the sukkah, it's going to be 7x7 tefachim. So when you say that the sukkah has to fit his head, his body, and his table, it means it's got to be 7x7 tefachim, which happens to be the opinion of Beis Shammai. Do we generally pass him like Beis Shammai? No. So he said, what? You going like Beis Shammai? Amalei Ela Kaman. He says, yeah, you know, he always, a Jew answers the question with a question. Who else? Who should I be going like? Right? What else do you think I'm talking about? Ika de Amri, Amar Rabbi Abba, the Amar Lachmani. Others say the conversation went like this. Who told you that it needs to fit the head, the body, and the table? Amalei Beis Shammai says, yeah, that's Beis Shammai. Velo tazuz mina. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that it's got to be wrong if it's Beis Shammai, but you should know you can't veer from that psak. Beis Shammai is right over here. We stick with Beis Shammai. Maskevlar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak mi ma'id Beis Shammai beisil besukah ketana pligi. Now, there's a lot of background the Gemara doesn't give you over here. Let me give you a little bit of that background. We know that there's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in the following case. Let's say, I'm sure many of you have a patio that goes right off of your kitchen. And you open like a sliding door, and it opens up, and you build the sukkah right out there where you go right into the sukkah. There's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. If you're sitting in the sukkah, and your table is in the house, in the patio, in the kitchen, and you're eating off of the table in your house, whether that's okay. Beis Hillel says, yeah, why not? You're sitting in the sukkah. What do you care where your table is? Beis Shammai says, no, that's not okay. That's what we know about Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. That's the machlokas that we're aware of. What assumption did the Gemara just make? That the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was how small the sukkah is allowed to be. When they argue about whether your table could be in your house, they're arguing about how tiny can you get away with making your sukkah. Beis Hillel says, you don't need the table in the sukkah, so how big does the sukkah have to be? Just big enough to fit you, not big enough to fit your table. And Beis Shammai says, no, the table's got to be in the sukkah too. So how big does the sukkah have to be? Big enough to fit you and your table, right? That's what we're assuming. But you could understand that that's not what they're arguing about. Maybe they both hold the sukkah's got to be a million amos. It's got to be humongous. They're just arguing about if you happen to put your table outside of the sukkah, is that okay or is that not okay? Totally different issue. It's not about the size of the sukkah. It's about where you position your table relative to the sukkah. So that's what the Gemara questions. The Gemara says, "Maskev of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, mimay de Beishamay Beisil b'sukkah katana pligi." How do you know that Beisham Beisil are arguing about, literally translated, a small sukkah? But meaning, what it means to say is, how do you know that they're arguing about the minimum size of a sukkah? I can't see if there's someone trying to get in. I don't know. How do you know if they're arguing about the minimum size of a sukkah? Dilma b'sukkah gedola pligi. Maybe they're arguing about a sukkah that's plenty big, and what are they worried about? What's the machlokas about? Just where's your table? Is the table in the sukkah? Is the table outside of the sukkah? But it's not about the size of the sukkah. Ukhagon, for example, di yosef apuma dematulta v'shulchanu b'toch habayis. You're sitting by the mouth of the sukkah, the mouth of the shade, literally, of the sukkah, which one means the mouth? Apuma dematulta of the sukkah, and your shulchan is inside your house. The Beis Shammai Savri, Beis Shammai is going to hold no good. Why is Beis Shammai going to say no good? Gazrin and Shema Yimashech Achar Shulchano. That Beis Shammai is going to be concerned, you're going to end up wherever your table is. If your table's in the house, it's not going to be long, you're going to end up in your house too. Beis Hillel Savri and Beis Hillel holds, Lo Gazrinan, no worries. I'm sure you're going to try to stay in Sukkah, you're not going to end up in your house. Videka Nami, and the truth is, if you pay careful attention to the Lashonos that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel use, it sounds like that's what they're really arguing about, where the table happens to be, not how big your sukkah has to be. Why? What's their Lashon? Dekatani, because it actually says as follows. Misha Yerosh of Rubav Sukkah V'Shulchan B'Tach Abayis, if a person is majority in the sukkah, but his table is inside the house, Beis Shammai Posen Beis Hillel Machshirin, Beis Shammai says no good, Beis Hillel says good. Does that say anything about how big your sukkah has to be? No, it's about if your table is in your house. Is that okay or is it not okay? V'imisa, if you are correct that they're really arguing about what? About how small the sukkah can be, then what should it have said? Not if you happen to be in the sukkah and your table's in the house. You know what it should have said? Machzekes. Ve'ina machzekes. It should have said, you're in a sukkah that's machzekes, that holds you and your table. Or you and not your table. Right, that's what it should have said, because if it's talking about how big the sukkah can be, so it should have spoken about what the sukkah can hold. Question mark. So says the Gemara, "Ubasukkah katana lo pligi." What, you think they're not also arguing about the minimum size of a sukkah? They are. Vatanya, we have another brisa that actually uses exactly the words you just suggested. The brisa says, "Machzek es rosh rubu b'shulchano k'shera." What does that mean? Good, if it holds you, meaning that the sukkah is big enough to hold you, most of your body, your head, and your table, it's kosher. Rebbe Omer, now we introduce a wild card, a third shita. Rebbe says, no, it has to hold more than that. Ach yeheba arba amos al arba amos. Sukkah actually needs to be dalet amos by dalet amos, which is way bigger than you, your head, and your table, assuming a small table. Vitanya idach, and we have another brisa that says, Rebbe Omer kol sukkah shein ba arba amos al arba amos psula. That Rebbe says the sukkah needs to be how much? Rebbe's consistent over here, 4 amos by 4 amos. But the guy arguing on Rebbe all of a sudden doesn't say anything about your table. The chachamim omrim afilu ena machzekes el rosho verubo ksheira. Even if it only holds you, it's kosher. Vel shulchan lo katani. But it doesn't say anything about the table. Well, the guy who argues on Rebbe, what does he hold? Does he hold it's got to hold your table, or does he hold it doesn't have to hold your table? It's a steer between the two brises. We have two brises where Rebbe remains consistent, but the guy who argues on Rebbe doesn't remain consistent. In one case, the unnamed man who argues with Rebbe holds that the sukkah needs to hold your table, and in the other case, the unnamed man who argues with Rebbe holds the sukkah doesn't need to hold your table. What's going to be the answer? The thing about unnamed men is that they're not always the same person. Right? So Kashina Adadi, it sounds like it's a stira, because the unnamed guy who argues with Rebbe in the two brises says different things. Says Gemara, yeah, hello, Elulav, Shmamina, Habe Shammai, Habe Silel. In one of those brises, the unnamed man is Beis Shammai. In the other brisa, the unnamed man, the anonymous guy, is Beis Silel. Which is which? Beis Silel is the one who says what? Beis Shammai is the one who says what? What? Beis Shammai says, got to hold the table. And Beis Hillel says, nah, it doesn't have to hold the table. So you see, they're not only arguing if your table happens to be outside of the sukkah. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are actually arguing about what the minimum size of a sukkah could be. Fine. And the truth is, the Mishnayos are meduyik this way as well. It says Beishamai posin and Beisilim machshirin. It says Beishamai says it's possible, Beisilim says it's kosher. V'imisa, but if they were only arguing about a larger sukkah where the table happened to have been outside, you know what it should have said? Beishamai amrim lo yatsa. Puzzle sounds like what's puzzle? The sukkah's puzzle. If I'm in a perfectly kosher sukkah, I just stuck my table outside. You know what Beishamai should tell me? You're not Yotze the Mitzvah. Was I in a kosher sukkah? Yeah, but you aren't Yotze the Mitzvah. From the fact that Beis Shammai says, puzzle, that implies that Beis Shammai is not talking about where I'm in a big sukkah. I'm in a sukkah that only fits me, doesn't fit my table. And that's why Beis Shammai says, no, that sukkah is puzzle. So, if you were correct that we're talking about even a large sukkah, it should say that you are Yotze, you're not Yotze. Shouldn't be anything about kosher or puzzle. The Ella Kasha Mishahaya. Aye, but what are you going to do about the fact that the Mishnah also uses the phrase, a guy was in a sukkah where his table was outside of the sukkah? What does that sound like? He was in a tiny sukkah or a normal sukkah? Well, Misha Haya Rosh of Rubav Sukkah V'Shulchan V'Tocha Bayis sounds like he was in a regular sukkah. The phrase Misha, because if you wanted to say he was in a tiny sukkah, it should have said, if the sukkah is only machzik, it can only hold him, can't hold the table. It doesn't say that. It says if he happened to have been in a sukkah and his table happened to have been in the house, makes it sound like it's a bigger sukkah. Then it says, the sukkah's pasul, makes it sound like small sukkah. So which is it? Are they arguing about a big sukkah or a small sukkah? So liolam b'tarti pligi. They're arguing about both. Pligi b'sukkah ketana, u'pligi b'sukkah gedola. They're arguing about a big sukkah, a small sukkah, everything. V'chisuri mechsura. That's an important concept. You should underline that, circle that. Chisuri mechsura. What does chisuri mechsura mean? Right. The Mishnah was speaking with tremendous brevity and left out a lot of the details. And the way to read the Mishnah is by throwing in a few more words. V'hachi katani. This is how you should understand the Mishnah. Doesn't mean the Mishnah, you know, accidentally skipped words. It meant the Mishnah was talking in a brief way. Misha, this is how the Mishnah should read. Misha Yerosh of Rubav Sukkah, V'shulchan B'toch HaBayis. If someone was sitting himself in the sukkah, his table in the house, who's going to say what? Before you even see it inside, Beis Shammai is going to say? Pasul. No good. You're not Yotze. Beis Shammai is going to say? Yotze, v'sham yom lo yotze v'solom yotza. That's one case. V'sheinu machzeches al kedei rosh of rubo blavad. If you're sitting in a tiny sukkah that only holds you, doesn't hold your table, no, who's going to say what? V'sham epasel, v'sham epasel, v'solom machshirin, v'solom say it's kosher. Good, period. Now, main point number two on Gimel Amud Aleph. Three shitos about the minimum size of a sukkah. What are they? Three opinions of Tanaim about the minimum size of a sukkah. No, you tell me. Put it in numbers. How many tefachim? 7x7. Beis Shammai says 7x7 tefachim. Shita number two? Rebbe says 4x4 amos, right? Rebbe says 4x4 amos. And shita number three? Left out Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds? 6x6 tefachim. You don't need to fit the table. Three shitos, right? Beis Shammai holds 7x7 tefachim, enough for you and your table. Beis Hillel says 6x6, 6 tefachim, just enough for you, not your table. Rebbe says 4x4 amos. Main point number three, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel also argue, if you're sitting in a big sukkah and your table's not there with you, your table's in your house, where Beis Shammai holds no good, you're not Yotze. Beis Hillel says you are Yotze. Good? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel also argue, if you happen to be in a big sukkah, but your table's in your house, are you Yotze the mitzvah? Beis Shammai says, no. Beis Hillel says, yes. Right.
Where does Beis Hillel argue 6x6? Where does Beis Hillel argue the shita 6x6?
In the second brisa that there was an anonymous guy arguing with Rebbe, where it says it has to hold Rosh of Verubo. We assume... Yeah, right. So, okay, says the Gemara, Man Tana Lahad Tana Rabbanan. Who's the author of the following brisa? Now, this brisa is going to include a bunch of random halachas from all over Shas. Meaning, the brisa has one yesod. The yesod is that in order to be considered a house, and not just like a little hut or a closet, something needs to be a minimum size. Now, what do we care whether something is considered a house in halacha? Are there any halachas that relate to a house? No? Any halachas? Mezuzah is only on a house. What else? Makal gagecha, to build a fence around your roof, is only on a house. And we're going to have a whole bunch of halachas. The Mishnah is going to take us on a tour throughout all of Shas about every halacha that relates to a house. But don't get confused by it, because all the Mishnah is really trying to tell me is how big the minimum size of a house really is. That's all it's trying to tell me. The Brisa, rather, not the Mishnah. The Tanur Rabban, we have Brisa. Bayashain bo arba amos al arba amos, and you have it all there in the first line. A house that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, pater min mezuzah, it's pater from mezuzah. Why? Because it's not a house, it's a hut. Umin amaka, you don't have to build a maka, you could circle maka also, that's an important concept, to build a fence around your roof so that people don't fall and kill themselves. But if it's less than 4 by 4 amos, you don't need to do it. Why? Because it's a hut, it's not a house. Ve'eno mitame bin negaim. Anyone know what negaim are? You can circle that one too. Negaim. Sara'as. Houses can get sara'as. But not a house that's less than 4 by 4 amos, because then it's not a house, it's a hut. Ve'eno nechlat bibate arechoma. Bate arechoma is an important concept also. You may have discussed it a little bit at the beginning of Maseches Ksuvos last year. There's a sheet of the Aguda that you probably discussed. Bate arechoma is a halacha that if you sell a house in a walled city in Eretz Yisrael, you know, normally when you sell a house in Eretz Yisrael, just wait till Yovel, you'll get it back. But if you sell a house in a walled city in Eretz Yisrael, you have 1 year where you can buy it back forcefully from the person who you sold it to. You can come back with a suitcase full of money, say, this is the money you paid me for it, I want the house back, and he has to give it back to you within 1 year. After that 1 year is over, you will never see that house again. Even at Yovel, it doesn't go back to you. That's the halacha of Bater Yechama, but that only applies if it's a house, not a hut. It's got to be 4 by 4 amos. Ve'ein chazrin alav me'orcha melchama. You know, when we go out to war, so the Kohen Meshuach Melchama, the Kohen gets up and announces, the Kohen is appointed for this job, gets up and announces, if you're chicken and you're afraid to go out to fight, we don't need you here. And if you just got married, get back home to be with your wife. And if you just planted a vineyard, get back home to be with your vineyard. And if you just built a house, get back home to be with your house. But not if you just built a hut, only if you built a house. A house is 4 by 4 amos, right? So that's only before 4 by 4 amos. Ve'in ma'arvin bo. We don't put the Eruv, you know what putting an Eruv in something means? We think of an Eruv as all the strings around the community, but the main part of the Eruv is really the bread or the matzos. We happen to use matzos usually because it doesn't get nasty after a while, right? So the matzos that everyone owns together in the community that gets kept in one of the houses, not in a hut, in a house. So in ma'arvin bo, you wouldn't be able to put the bread of the Erev in that. Vein mishtatfin bo, if you're joining different neighborhoods together in a different kind of Erev. Also, it needs to be in a house. Vein manichin bo Erev. Vein ma'arvin bo does not mean you don't put it in the house. It means that if a house opens up into the chatzar, it doesn't count as one of the houses that needs to be in the Erev if it's less than 4 by 4 amos. Ein manichin bo Erev means you can't keep the actual box of matzos in that house. Ve'ein osin oso ibur ben shtei ayaros. There's something called Tchum Shabbos. You familiar with Tchum Shabbos? What's Tchum Shabbos? You're not allowed to go? Good. More than 2,000 amos outside of the city limits, right? You can only go 2,000 amos in any direction. Let's say you have two cities that are fairly close to each other, and there's one house that's right in between the two cities that's about 70 amos away from each of the cities. That impregnates the cities. What it means is when women get pregnant, they get fatter, right? So that impregnates the cities, meaning it makes the cities join as one big giant city. So when you start measuring, if I live at the last house in that city, I still can go up until 2,000 amos from the last house in the other city. Because this house joins the two cities together. But only if it's a house, not if it's a hut. Right? Ve'ein ha'achin v'ashut ben cholkin bo. If two brothers, let's say, receive a Yerusha from their father, they receive a mansion as Yerusha, but the brothers can't stand each other. They want to live in their own private houses. They don't want to live together in the same mansion. So they can force each other to split it up because there's plenty of room. Okay, you'll take that half, I'll take this half, we'll knock it down and we'll each get, you know, we'll put a wall between it, and that's fine. That's only if each of them are going to get a house. not if each of them are going to get a hut. Then one can't force the other to split it. So says Gemara, who's the author of that brisa? The one that keeps insisting, 4x4 amos, 4x4 amos. Which Tana? Rebbe. So Lema, Rebbe, Hivala Rabbanan. That must be Rebbe. That's not the Rabbanan. So says Gemara, no, you're wrong. Afilu Tem Rabbanan. It could even be going like the Rabbanan. Ad, meaning which Rabbanan? Beshil or Beshame, whichever one you want. Not Rebbe. It could even be going like the opinion that holds that a sukkah could be even smaller. 7x7, Tvachim, 6x6, Tvachim, whatever. Ad kan lo kami rabbanan hasam elulin sukkah tadiras arayhi. You know why it counts as a kosher sukkah even when it's only 6x6 according to Beis Hillel or 7x7 according to Beis Shammai? Because a sukkah is supposed to be a hut. That's what a sukkah is. A sukkah is a diras arayhi. It's a temporary dwelling place. Aval gabi bayis tadiras kevahu. But when you're talking about halachos that relate to a house, which is supposed to be a permanent dwelling place, I feel rabbanan modu di yisvei dalet al dalet amos dairi beinchi vilo lo dairi beinchi. Even the rabbanan will be moda that if it's got 4x4 amos, someone might consider living there. If it's less than 4x4 amos, no one's going to ever consider living there. You know, a guy is going to try to move in. He'll bring his wife. She'll take one look at the place and say, "Forget it. This is not for us." Right? If it's very tiny, she's not going to be interested. You're not going to want to live there. Main point number one in Amud Beis. All halachos of a bayis demand that the house be how big? 4x4 amos. A sukkah may be different. Why? Because it's only a temporary dwelling place. All halachos of a bayis demand that the place be 4x4 amos, but a sukkah may be allowed to be smaller because it's supposed to be a temporary place. It's not supposed to be permanent. That's point number one. Next, Amramar. We said in this brisa, this is how Talmud Bavli works sometimes. We mentioned a brisa that has all these halachas about mezuzah and eruv and this and that, all for one point, to say that you need 4x4 amos. But once we mention it, let's start talking about some of those halachas. Amramar, we just mentioned. Pater min ha-mezuzah, min ha-makavein, mitame bin ha-gayim. We mentioned that a house that's less than 4x4 amos doesn't get a mezuzah and it doesn't get a makah around its roof and it can't become tame with nigayim, which again we said means what? Saras, can't get saras. Venu nechlet b'bateri chom, and it doesn't have the status of the halacha of bateri chom about that buyback for a year and then lose it forever. Ve'in chosnu of merchem olcham, and you don't get to go back from war if you just built a hut. My taima, debayis ksiv buhu bekulhu, because the psukim by all of those halachos, which by the way, every one of those halachos we just mentioned right now are dinim d'oraisa. The psukim by every single one of those halachos uses the word bayis. Bias means it's dalid by dalid. It's 4x4 amos. But then the brisa went on to certain halachos that were derabanan. Erevin is derabanan or daraisa, the whole concept of erevin. Derabanan. So then the brisa went on to say, vein ma'arvin bo, vein mishtadvin bo, vein manichin bo erev. Halachos about an erev. No pasuk about that says bias. You know how I know? Because there's no pasuk about that period. There's no pasuk about an erev. It's all in derabanan. So my time, but who says that it's got to be 4x4 amos? Why? Doesn't say it in the Torah anywhere. Says Gemara, because the lo chazi ledira. Because the whole point of an Erev is you need a place that people could live. It's not about the technical halachic definition of bayis. It's about a living quarter. And it's not a proper living quarters if it's less than 4x4 amos. Period. Main point number two. All of the halachos de oraisa that require 4x4 amos are because the Torah uses the word bayis. All of the halachos derabanan that require 4x4 amos are because they are halachos that require a living quarters, a dira. All halachos derabanan that require 4x4 amos are simply because the rabbanan require a living quarters for those halachos. That's not living. Meaning you're living there for 7 days, but that's, you go camping for 7 days. That's hardly a house. Says the Gemara, Eruve chatzeros ein manichin bo, aval shituf manichin bo. We said that if you're putting an Eruv chatzeros in the house, that's no good. In the house that's less than 4x4 tefachim, that's no good. But a shituf mavuos is okay. What's the difference between an Eruv chatzeros and a shituf mavuos? So the way communities were built, pictures would help over here, but the way communities were built in those days were that it's not that each family had their own yard. They'd have like 3-4 houses that all opened up into one yard. That yard was called a chatzer. In order to carry from one house to the other, they all had to join in for a box of matzahs and keep it in one of those houses. Then, there are many of those chatzeros, many of those little yards that opened up into a street. So let's say you had 5 or 6 of those yards that each have 3, 4, 5 houses in them that open up into a big street. That street is called a mavoi. It's not a Rosh Hashanah, it's a mavoi. Now, to carry from one chatzer to another chatzer within a mavoi, everyone in the mavoi, all the different chatzeros need to join together. Where are you going to keep that box of matzos where all the different chatzeros join together? It doesn't need to be in a bayis. It could be even in a hut. It doesn't need to be in a bayis. Ask the Gemara, why not? The Braisa never said that a shituve mavuos needs to be left in a house. That could even be left in a hut when you're joining different chatzeros together. Only when you're joining different houses within a chatzer, the box of matzos needs to be left in a house. Why the difference? That's the Gemara's question. My taima, why? So answers the Gemara, delo gara mechatzer shebimavoi. Because when you're joining different chatzeros together, you could just dump the box of matzos out in the yard, out in one of the yards. It doesn't even need to be in anything. As long as it's in one of the chatzers, one of the chatzeros that open up into that street, that's good enough. Because what are you joining together? You're not joining houses together. You're joining chatzers together. So as long as you're joining chatzers together, you can put the box of matzos in a chatzer. It could be out in the middle of the yard. It doesn't need to be in a house. Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Eruvei chatzeros bechatzer, shitufei mavui bimavui. An Eruv chatzeros is left in the chatzer. A sheet of mavuos, when you're joining several chatzeros together in a mavui, you leave it in the mavui. And Vavinaba, we ask on that. That makes no sense. Eruvei chatzeros bechatzer. An Eruv chatzeros, you leave in the chatzer. Where did we just say you leave the Eruv chatzeros? In a house. If you put the Erev on some little guard hut or booth or something tiny, something that's not a house, that's not a good Erev. And if you live in some little hut, you're not even a problem for the other people in terms of carrying in that chatzer. You're not even counted as like a resident there. It doesn't even count as anything in terms of Erev chatzeros. So we have to change the words around a little bit. What we really mean to say is Eruvei chatzeros be bayis shebechatzer. Where do you keep an Erev chatzeros? In a house. What does that mean? It's got to be 4x4 amos. Exactly. V'shitufei mavuos bechatzer shebemavui. Where do you keep the sheet of mavuos? Not in a house, in a courtyard. Where in the courtyard? Wherever. In a house, out in the middle of the yard, in a hut, wherever you want.
Doesn't matter.
Vahai, and this little hut, lo gara mechatzer shel mavui, is no worse than having it out in the middle of the yard. Right? It's at least as good as having it out in the middle of the yard, so that should be fine. Then we said, the enos no, so we're still going back to that brisa that was quoted totally parenthetically. Ve'inos noso ibur ben shtei ayaros. You can't make a house that's less than 4x4 amos, a hut, be the thing that impregnates the two cities. Remember, if you have two cities that are in close proximity, the thing in the middle could join the two cities as one big city. That's only if it's 4x4 amos. If the thing in the middle is a hut, it can't join the two cities, right? So that's what we said before. Now, says the Gemara, Dafilu kiburganin lo mashvinan le. We don't even consider that area like burganin. What are burganin? Burganin are like these little tiny huts that they made out of like very temporary kinds of materials for people who would go out hunting, people who would go out hunting birds. So they make these little huts in between outside of the city where they would hang out for some shade when they were going out hunting. It doesn't even count as a burganin. My taima, why is this not even as good as, meaning a burganin, one of those little huts, that could join the two cities. This can't. A house that's less than 4x4 almost can't. Why not? Because when you build a burganin, what do you want to use it as? Just a little hut. And what are you using it as? A little hut. So it's doing what you want from it. You don't have great expectations from it. It's like when if you buy a Hyundai, you don't expect it to do that much. You expect it to get you from point A to point B. So you don't get disappointed, and it's not a chisaron in the car if it doesn't have a rear view camera when you back up and it doesn't have a built-in GPS. It doesn't bother you. You buy a Lexus and it doesn't have that, then it starts to bother you. So you're trying to build a bias and it's less than 4x4 amos, that's a problem. Because a bias shouldn't be less than 4x4 amos. So that doesn't count as anything. That's bad. If you're trying to build a Burganin and it's less than 4x4 amos, good. That's your Hyundai. Enjoy it. So that's less than 4x4 amos, that's fine. So says Gemara, Burganim chazil l'milsayu. Burganim do what they're supposed to do. V'haylu chazil l'milsay. But this house that's less than 4x4 amos doesn't even do what it's supposed to do. Main point number three, a house that's less than 4 amos is not even as good as a Burgani. Because, why? Because it doesn't even fit its purpose, whereas a Burgani does. And then the Braisa said, Ve'ina achin v'ashut ben cholkinbo. Two brothers can't force each other to split a house that's less than 4x4 amos. Says the Gemara, time of the less beidalit amos. Sounds like it's only because it's less than 4 amos. Ha'is beidalit amos. Sounds like if the house in total was 4 amos, then the brothers would be able to force each other to split it up. Let me ask you something. Let's say the house was 6 amos, and they forced each other to split it up. How much would each one be left with? 3 amos, right? Is that okay? That's not okay. So what's the Mishnah talking about? What's the Braisa talking about? Ha'ispe dalet amos cholkin. If it had 4 amos, you'd be able to force them to split it. But we have a Mishnah that says, Ein cholkin asachatzer ad sheba arba amos lezeh v'arba amos lezeh. After you split it, each guy is supposed to have at least what? 4 amos. Ela ema, rather, what we mean to say is, Ein bo din chaluka kichatzer. That it doesn't have the status of the din chaluka, the halacha of splitting up like a chatzer does, or the chain bichatzer in a chatzer. Meaning, if we split up a chatzer, let's say there are 3 houses in the chatzer, and we split up the chatzer. So how do we split it up? Each house gets a certain amount in the chatzer. Let's say one of the houses in the chatzer is less than 4x4 amos. Does it get a piece of the yard? No. It doesn't get a piece of the yard like the other houses. That's all it means. We're not talking about splitting the house itself. We're talking about splitting the yard that the house opens up into. And if the house is less than 4x4 amos, you don't split. It doesn't have a din chaluka. It doesn't get split with it. Because Rav Huna says you divide a chatzer based on how many doors open up into it. So if I have a house that has 5 doors, I get 5 portions of the chatzer. You have a house that has 2 doors, you only get 2 portions of the chatzer. Rav Chista Amar Nosin Chol Pesach Pesach Arba Amos. Rav Chista says no, it's a little different. Each door you have, you automatically get 4 Amos in the Chatzer, and then whatever's left over, Vashar Chol Kenosu B'Shava, we split evenly between the houses. So if I have 5 doors, you have 2 doors, I'll get 5 times 4 Amos is 20 Amos. You'll get 2 times 4 is 8, and the other 100 Amos, I'll get 50. You'll get 50. However many Amos are left, we'll split evenly. Dahani mili bayis dilamahavi kai yahivna lechatzer. Only a house that's meant to be there and to stay and to exist for a long time gets a portion of the chatzer. Hai dilamistar kai, but a house that's less than 4x4 amos, you know what's going to end up happening to it? They're going to knock it right down because they're going to realize after a while it's useless. Lo yahivna lechatzer. So why should that house get a portion in the chatzer? It's absolutely useless. Main point number 4 on Daf Gimel and Beis. Good timing. A house that's less than 4 amos does not entitle the owner to a space in the chatzer. However you split up a chatzer, a house that's less than 4 amos does not entitle the owner of that house to a space in the chatzer. Again, the bechinas will come mostly from the main points, but sometimes it will be difficult to understand them if you didn't actually go through the Gemara. What? Sorry? Open Gemara. Yeah, all open Gemara. Multiple choice. 10 multiple choice questions. Hatzlacha, Rabbi, everybody. Shchayach for coming.